sheep that belong to me listen to my voice. But there are so many voices out there. Politicians, advertisers, celebrities on Twitter, and they all want us to listen to them, to vote for them, to buy their product, to watch their film or TV program, to buy their latest book or DVD. Why then, amidst all these voices, should we choose to listen to Christ's voice? I think there are three qualities to Christ's voice that make it compelling and convincing that it is the Good Shepherd talking to us. I think the first quality is that he is honest. How many advertisers are there trying to sell us products that promise us the world? If you buy this shampoo, you will never go grey or go bald. It's not true. I've tried them. If you buy this face cream, you will never get wrinkles. If you buy this car, bizarrely, car advertising is fascinating. If you buy this car, you will have a better relationship with your children. I mean, you remember that there was an advert, it was about a year ago, and there's a little five-year-old lad on the driveway of the car, and he's dressed up as Darth Vader. He's trying to use the Force to do something to the car. And of course, the dad stood inside at the window, and he just presses the button, and the car unlocks, and the lights flash, and then the little mini Darth Vader is convinced that he has become a Jedi Knight and mastered the use of the Force. Somehow buying this car will make you a better father and give you a better relationship with your children. In the end, all of them are selling the same thing. They're all saying that if you buy this product, your life will be complete and fulfilled. Honestly, has that ever happened? Have you ever bought something and felt for more than 10 minutes to an hour that this is it, now I am fulfilled and complete? Or is your constant experience that when you buy something, immediately after you possess it, it's a bit like Christmas morning when all the presents have been unwrapped, and it's great that you've got them all, but after a while you're kind of thinking, bored now, I'm wrapped in my presents and I've got everything, and I'm still no better off than I was before. Jesus doesn't lie to us. He doesn't promise us that the world will be perfect. He doesn't shy away from the difficult aspects of life. He tells us, take up your cross and follow me. Tells us in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 22, you will be hated by everyone on account of my name. Jesus doesn't lie to us, and he doesn't pretend that everything will be easy and perfect. And that honesty, I think, makes Jesus' voice believable and worth trusting. Secondly, Jesus offers us something different. You know, how often when you listen to politicians, you know, they say vote this way or vote that way. But in the end, they're all promising us, vote for me and we'll lower taxes, or vote for me and we'll stimulate the economy. But fundamentally, you'll have more money in your pocket. Money's not a bad thing, it's a tool, and it enables us to do things. But money in itself doesn't bring us contentment. Money doesn't still the restlessness in our heart. So what the politicians are really saying is, you see that thing that you already have that hasn't brought peace to your restless heart? Well, vote for me and I promise you more of the same. And I think we're a little bit like children. You know, in Italy, you go to these ice cream shops in Italy, and you see all the hundreds of different flavors of ice cream. And the thing is, it doesn't matter how many different flavors of ice cream there are, and it doesn't matter how many scoops of ice cream you manage to kind of ladle onto your cone. In the end, sometimes we think, now I like ice cream, don't get me wrong, but in the end, we do think there has to be more to life than ice cream. Jesus says to us, he offers us an alternative. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Or again, he says, I have come that you might have life, and life in its fullness. Or again, I am the resurrection and the life. The life Jesus offers us is not more in quantity, it is more and different in quality. And I suppose you have to work out for yourselves whether that offer is something that you want to respond to. Finally, Jesus is worth listening to, well, because, put it this way, you ever tried learning to swim? You know, you get different types of swimming instructors. So you get some swimming instructors that will stand on the side of the pool and will just sort of say to you, kick harder and try and keep your head out of the water. And then you get other swimming instructors who will actually, if you're struggling, will get into the pool with you and will show you exactly what you have to do. You know, and then if you're trying to learn the backstroke, they'll stand alongside you and they'll hold your head up as you're trying to learn how to kick doing the backstroke. And in the end, Jesus is like the latter swimming instructor. He becomes one of us. And he knows our experiences from the inside. And so when he speaks, his voice has the authority of experience. Jesus was born in poverty. His childhood was spent as a displaced person in exile in Egypt. He labored with his hands during the hidden life in the forgotten backwater of Nazareth. Do you remember Nathanael's reaction when he hears that Jesus has come from Nazareth? And he says, can anything good come from Nazareth? But that's where Jesus spent his adult life. He shares our obscurity. During his public life, he slept rough. Foxes have their dens, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. And at the end of his public life, he was betrayed by his friend, hideously. And then he was abandoned by his other friends, awfully. And then he was unjustly accused, beaten to within an inch of his life. And then he was held up to public ridicule and then hung on a tree and left to die. Jesus very definitely got into the swimming pool with us. And he knows the human condition because he shares it. He knows our poverty and our sufferings from the inside. And so when he speaks to us, he's worth listening to because he speaks with authority. Not with the authority of a professor's academic knowledge, nor with the authority of a politician who has power in his hands, but rather with the authority of our brother who has stood shoulder to shoulder with us, and who has suffered with and for us. That is the Good Shepherd, whose voice is worth listening to.